advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
They cut that out.
Now repeat all.
Yeah, it started at me.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Welcome to the Sofa King Podcast. Brent has something stuck in his throat again.
Always.
And I started laughing because you hit the glass extra hard this time, like trying to get the noise
you
into the microphone.
It.
And it just dawned on me that we were trying to get that noise and everything. And every time I cut it out, because I start it right when I start. So
right.
I cut all that audio beforehand. So you keep getting louder and trying to pour more into your cup and like hitting the glass harder.
Part.
Yeah. And I take it out. Every
you leave
time.
It when you do the beatbox on the intro.
Maybe.
That was actually really good.
Was it?
Yeah. When you did your like Sanford and Son bebop thing. I was impressed.
It was impressive.
So the whiskey I just drank is a Bullet. So a girl sent us whiskey and strawberry jam along with a handwritten letter. Sometimes my shop's
that
not that
like
organized.
Like a school note love letter.
I thought it was pretty.
I was thinking
endearing.
About you all day. And I can't wait to see you after class.
It says none
is
of
the,
that.
Is there a two boxes at the bottom? Do you like me back?
Mark yes or no.
Yeah. So Isabel Arnold from South Dakota.
Yeah.
Sounds like the making of one. Sent us this whiskey, and she went on a whiskey tasting binge, and she uses us as an excuse.
Oh, it's from South Dakota?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel better about eating the strawberry jam then because they don't have anything else to do there but make their own food.
And so, poisons.
Maybe.
And LSD. They make LSD. We're going to be tripping balls.
That's good.
Like, yeah.
That's okay.
So, yeah. So she sent us homemade strawberry jam, and I wouldn't recommend doing that because we are slowly going to get scared after mentioning LSD and poison in homemade products. So if there's not a seal on it, we're probably not touching it from here on out. But I'm probably going to try Isabel's jam. And if I die, that's what happened. Yep. So thank you.
I'll just put a sheet over you and make sure you have the right Nikes on. And then I'll have Dave try it. And then I'll be the last one without a sheet.
So many people. How about that? So many people got Bernstein on that. Everyone was
I'm
like,
telling
it's
you,
white
the white
Nikes,
shoes,
white
man.
Nikes. Yeah.
Yeah. Heaven's Gate, if you remember, if you haven't listened to
yeah,
the Heaven's Gate
white
episode,
shoes.
White shoes. And now it's black shoes with Nike.
Well,
black,
I want to at least Nikes. Read her PS. There's a long letter here. I won't read the whole thing, but her PS
very
shows that, yeah, I can't say some of the things she said there, but. No, that's not true. The PS shows that she's an old school fan because of there's an ode to in here. It says, PS, I'd love a shout out on Instagram. Wait, is that it? That's not it. No, it's not
Jesus
the PS.
Christ.
Sorry. Hey, I'm not prepared. says, hopefully this shit gets me a shout out because I've been waiting. Pour some whiskey, have some jam, and drop that funky beat.
Oh yeah. That is an old school reference.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's like episodes 1 through 20 or something.
Maybe. Probably. I don't even remember.
Thank you for the whiskey. I'm drinking it. And I don't have a spoon. I'm not going to stick my finger in the jar because then Brad won't try it.
Yeah.
He'll eat it off my finger maybe. I'll feed it to him.
I'll leave if that starts happening. That's going to
try.
That's going to get into some
You'll
weird.
You'll peek through two fingers.
That's going to turn into some weird
stop.
Like Spock Kirk fan fiction. I'd rather leave before that happens.
Just use that as lube.
Yeah, see, exactly.
Here
that's
we go.
Why I'm leaving.
didn't take long.
Or I'm just drinking the whole bottle of whiskey. Those are my two.
I don't know. Have you ever put El Yucateco in jelly?
That was one of my thoughts. I almost brought the Yucateco down here, but I couldn't find like a spoon or something to do it with. I'll do it.
You have silverware upstairs and El Yucateco. We have tons of it.
You want me to do it? I'll do it.
I'd say do it.
I'll do
and
it.
If you die right here, at least we have something to talk about.
I'll do it at the intro of the next show, though.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So that'll be Friday's episode.
Yeah.
Oh, that might be good, though. That might work out.
Why? Yes.
Because he could go invisible.
Oh, that's the secret strawberry jam and habanero.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, it's just there. So, Oh, you can take a story? Yeah.
What'd you have? I do. Yeah. So I got into like a battle with a guy locally. I own a computer shop.
Was it a battle
or a breakdance like, battle?
Freestyling?
It was more of a me getting old man grumpy and fucking kicking me out.
Get off my yard battle. Yeah,
it was more stay off my grass.
None shall pass. Yeah.
I have gotten grumpier and grumpier, but I'm just bad. Was over this shit. So there's an art show in town. And it's called First Friday. And, you know, local businesses allow artists to set up in front of their building on the sidewalk.
Oh, no.
And I've done it for like 8 years and I try to be cool about it. But what happens is like they set up their tables and chairs and like bang the shit out of the glass. And I try to be like cool. And it's like 5 o'clock and I'm like, hey, like I got to go talk to them because they're going to set off the alarm when I leave. So and this has been a reoccurring thing. I walk out there and I'm like, hey, can you make sure that the chairs don't hit the glass? I'm about to set the alarm. And I'm always cool. I'm like, hey, look, you guys made sock monkeys and silverware fucking duct wind
tape,
chimes.
Duct tape wallets.
Yeah, duct tape wallets. Cool.
Shit
that looks cute.
Who gives a shit about
it? I try to be cool. And I'm like, and you know, my daughter participated in First Friday and painted stuff and sold stuff. And it's a good thing for the community. They're trying to do something for downtown. I try to support it. But if you're going to be passive aggressive and an asshole to me when I'm trying to be cool and I'm letting you set up out there, it's just going to wear on me. So I go out there and I'll be like, hey, I'm about to set the alarm. Can you make sure that the chairs just don't touch the glass? Because it's going to set my alarm off. And instead of being like, sure, no problem, it's always, well, it wasn't a problem before. And I'm like, motherfucker, I'll tell you if it was a problem before. The alarm company calls me, not you. You don't know if it's a problem before. The way you know it's a problem is that I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Like, so
I just tell them, look, if I got to come back and the alarm went off, I'm fucking smashing the fuck out of your face into the curb.
So that happened several times over the past months. And it's just stupid little shit. Like, they draw these giant squares in rainbow chalk in front of the shop and put numbers, you know, that are like 4-foot by 8-foot squares on the sidewalk. They could just write a little number or leave a little post-it that gets taken away when the person that's setting up sets up. Mm-hmm. But instead, for 30 days, there's chalk on the sidewalk. And my grandpa ass is walking by seeing it getting pissed on a daily basis until finally the day comes that they're banging on the glass. And I just start to get over it. Well, this guy comes into the scene. He's like a lighting guy and he wants to hang twinkle lights and he wants to run an extension cord through my window. I have this little mail slot in the door. I've done it in the past and it sets the alarm off and I got to deal with him like shoving a cord through the thing. And the next day, there's a 100-foot extension cord in the front of my shop that I got to roll up and coordinate meeting with them to get their extension cord at a later date, generally outside of hours. And I was like, you know, man, I don't know if I want to do it. I just don't want to mess with it. It's just been a problem in the past. And he's like, oh, it's a problem with the alarm company. That's not, I was like, that's not a problem with the alarm company. That is by definition.
Motherfucker, that's my alarm.
Works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I shut the door and set the alarm, if someone shoves shit through the mail slot, it's going to set the alarm off. That's how it works. And he's kind of not being cool. But I deal with it for a little bit because I'm just trying to keep the peace. Well, then he wants like the building owner's number so that he can install a plug above my fucking windows. And I was like, no, like I'm not paying the PG&E for your fucking twinkle lights when it gets dark at 8:30 and you need 30 minutes of light. Like I'm just over it. So finally he comes in after a 3-week period of this harassment shit. And I was like, you know what, man? I just decided I'm not going to do it. And he just gets argumentative with me. I was like, he's like, why? Because I said, I'm tired of dealing with it. This is like the 42nd time we've talked. I just don't want to do it, man. I'd appreciate you respect that. And so he walks out and goes, okay, well, I hope you don't have any problems. And I was like, the fuck does that mean?
Motherfucker.
You know what I mean? Like
mumbled under
his
breath. So I immediately.
And you forgot my favorite detail. And I don't know why it's my favorite detail, but he's wearing a shirt that says lighting.
That says lighting. To me,
like, I'm the lighting guy, so you know.
Because how I'm
serious.
Sure
hey, apparently you didn't understand how serious this was.
Dave has something that
you didn't have computer guy on your shirt.
There's
okay?
a Jedi mind trick with the assumption that you're somewhat of importance. Like, oh, it's official.
Like it when says, you wear the security.
It says lighting.
Shirt.
Yeah, right. Like yeah, the white. Yeah, Dave yeah. says the white van. Like if we pulled up with a white van, orange cones, and some.
Well, we talked about that because I really my thing is, and if you want to send. Me one that's really cool, but I really want a phone booth.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. We found one in this real sketchy area of town, and me and Brent went to a place. It's called a Restore. You know what they sell basically
Habitat
junk.
For yeah. Humanity.
They sell junk that they pulled out of other houses and stuff so we can get doors and stuff. And I'm like, oh, there's a phone booth right there. So I go in and I literally ask the people inside the store, like, hey, can I take that phone booth? And they're like, if you want, like there's like they,
it's just four
they yeah, they didn't
it's
know.
Not
yeah.
Functional.
They're like,
it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
it's not
theirs. Yeah. And it's not theirs anyway.
I doubt the phone company wants it.
I was just being a dick. Yeah. I would actually be doing them a favor.
Right.
And I was like, Brent, I was like, if we pulled up in my work truck threw some hard hats on and some cones out, went over there, undid the thing, and threw it in the back of the truck. Like, no, there's no bum that's going to call anybody, you know? Like,
especially if you're, like, especially if you're both wearing the same thing. Like,
I print some Pac Bell or AT&T, like, magnets.
Gonna
happen?
We're going to get all ready with lanyards and shit and have all this. No one's going to say
we're
going to
go there. Yeah,
gonna,
no, yeah, yeah.
Some dude's going to come help us carry it out. No one's going to question us.
No one would say anything.
Yeah, because we could just say we were contracted. Yeah. Like,
it's Ghostbusters. We just need Dan Aykroyd to speak in But if,
I mean, I already have hard hats and stuff. Like, we can throw hard hats on, safety glasses,
drop some cones, have the same outfit, the same color.
AT&T magnets.
Shirt,
and then what's great about that, though, if we need to kidnap somebody, it's already all set up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. So, to continue my story, though, this guy walks out with his official lighting shirt and mumbles under his breath, hope you don't have any problems. Problem. And I was like,
that would have pissed me off.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was like, and I'll be honest, dude, I just got out of jiu-jitsu. I was fucking sweaty and like fucking sore and shit. And I was like, this motherfucker, I'm going to choke somebody. I was just like, fucking.
You already got choked four times.
Yeah, so I just got like, choked four times. I need to get somebody back. It was someone else's turn. And I was like, I was like almost to the point where you get like mad, you get shaky or whatever, like that adrenaline thing.
You're ready to
in.
Fight. Yeah.
So I just walked to the back. I was like, God, that guy drives me nuts, dude. I'm glad I'm done with it. So I was like, you know what? I'm canceling First Friday, dude. I go and get on the phone and I call the Arts Council and I was respectful. I was like, hey, you know what? I appreciate what you guys do, but I've just had it. I don't want to participate in First Friday. I don't want any booths set up by my business anymore. And they tried to say, like, can we have it on the edge of the sidewalk? I was like, no, because then it's going to be the conversation of you're too close to the building, or can I still run an extension? I just want to be done with it. It's been 8 years I've participated.
Yeah. And you can blame it on this guy.
And I did. I said, and you know what? To be honest, this lighting guy that's walking around, like, oh, we're not even using him. He's not hired. We're not going to use him. I was like, well, he's just on my last nerve, and he's honestly the reason I'm calling. Like, it's what pushed me over the limit. And like, we really apologize. They were super nice. I said, you know what? I know it's tomorrow. I'm not trying to put you on short notice. Go ahead and just, you can do it tomorrow. But from here on out, I'd rather not participate. And they said, okay. And as I'm on the phone, ending the conversation, the guy walked back in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to go. The lighting guy's back. And I hang up and I said, what are you doing here? What can I do for you? What are you doing here? Because I'm just
over. Do you have a computer?
Yeah. And he's like, I need the number for your building owner, because they're not getting back to me. I was like, well, I'll tell you what, you don't need it, because I just canceled First Friday. And he's like, what does that mean? You canceled First Friday? I was like, I no longer participate in First Friday. There are no longer spaces around my corner, so you no longer need to put lights up. So you don't have to worry if they contact you back, because we're done. So you can go. And he was just like, I was like, and I'll be honest, you're the catalyst. And he's like, I'm not the catalyst. And I was like, who the fuck are you to tell me that you're not the catalyst? I am me, and I am the one that just made that decision. I called the Arts Council and canceled based on you. You're by definition the fucking reason I canceled. Therefore, the catalyst. You can go. And you just like, burger, and walked out. So here's where El Yucateco comes in randomly.
You should have dropped.
You splashed it in his face.
No. You should have dropped a good day, sir.
And good day, sir. Good day, sir.
And then if he started talking again, I said good day.
I usually have a white glove
in
my pocket.
You shut your mouth when I'm talking to you.
If I had a white glove and I could slap him with it, I would have. This guy's going to find me now. He's kind of built.
You should have just pulled out the shotgun and just set it on the counter.
That's too much. So
he's threatening.
He walks out. I walk in a circle huffing and puffing like burger myself. And then I walk out to go get an iced tea at the sandwich shop. And they're like, hey, man, some guy just came and he's all jazzed about your hot sauce. And I was like, oh, yeah? What do you look like? Glasses, like short beard. He had a shirt that said lighting. I was like, well.
Oh, the universe.
Yeah. At least something good came of this.
Yeah, the universe.
Maybe we can come together and have peace between Yucateco, though. The Yucateco will bring peace to the lighting situation.
Well, see, the thing was, he probably listened to the podcast and was a fan until he just heard the story and realized that's you.
I don't know, man. I'll stand by my side of the story. I don't care.
I would have went off.
Even your downtown nemesis enjoys delicious Yucateco hot sauce.
Even my enemies love my hot sauce.
And you are the catalyst for him eating the hot sauce.
I am.
Yeah. How are you the catalyst? How am I the catalyst?
So thank you.
You need to, you're lucky. Man.
So you need to wait. You need to wait to see him in there again using the hot sauce, and then you can jump in and say, I'm the catalyst to you eating that fucking hot sauce. Yeah.
I don't know if I could have sat in the back of the shop and listened to that happen. I would have probably went out.
Oh, you'd have hit a motherfucker, Brad.
Yeah, I'd have been like, sir, I'm going to escort you outside.
I mean, I don't know what I would have done on that like obscure threat on the way out the door. I'd have been out the door with
that right there. Would have pissed me off. I just said, I hope nobody burns your house down, motherfucker. Like,
Well, I was cool. I mean, I was trying to be cool. It was 3 weeks of built up, you know, before I turned asshole, but I just couldn't hold it anymore. So,
yeah. Well, there's always issues. I have to listen to you talk about them all the time.
So. I know. I do. I go on old man rants.
That's great. That's great. That's funny.
Anyways, yeah. Thank you, El Yucateco, for keeping the peace.
Yes.
And being delicious.
And today's topic, gentlemen.
What's it? So no, I'll tell you how I got on the topic
before we,
I mean, obviously they're going to know what the topic is because we talked about this, like we're doing it like a surprise. Like, I'm not going to tell you what the topic is right now. You don't know what the topic is right now.
They just clicked on the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're talking about a guy named Clifford Olson. You might say, who the fuck is Clifford Olson? And why am I listening to this podcast that just had a 15-minute intro of Brent getting mad at somebody?
If you're still here, yeah.
Well, that's the buildup. Because Clifford Olson, as I found out, who I never heard of, I was searching around and we were thinking of topics. And I said, you know, like there's been a couple people from the UK that say, hey, you know, there's some cool serial killers over here. You should look into them, you know, give us some names. And so I just went on a rant on my own and went on and found a list of serial killers by country. And I start looking down them. And I get
let's be honest, that was in your favorites already. Like,
it was bookmarked. Yeah. But
I was pretty sure of that.
Yeah. So I get down to surprisingly Canada. And Canada had a ton of serial killers, for one.
Not to mention maple syrup maniac.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there was one, right, the maple syrup maniac. Yes. Right. Yes. Can't forget him. We have to do a show on him.
The back bacon butcher. That's
yeah. They have like, they have like the Kool-Aid man in Canada, but it's just maple syrup that busts through the wall. Like, hey,
oh, yeah.
Let's get this party started. Where's the pancakes?
The pancake pedophilia.
Yeah.
That's like, they're all famous.
Yeah. They're all have to do with maple syrup.
Yep.
But as I poked around through those, I found Clifford Olson. And Clifford Olson,
motherfucker.
Yes.
I'll read a text, because when we were deciding on these topics a while back, I had posted something and I was asking what we were going to dial in on, and Brent said Philadelphia Experiment, which is the next episode.
That'll be Friday.
And then Brad said Clifford Olson. And then I replied, they both sound good. I have no idea who Clifford Olson is, but assume he killed a bunch of people or runs a cult or both. I'm down. And then but I have to say, having researched Clifford Olson, I'm going to heartily say, fuck you, Brad, for making me delve in to this fucking evil, dark, fucking psychopath. This is we've covered a lot of fucked up people before, and like I've looked at every single one of them and thought, oh, that guy's crazy.
Yeah.
Like every single one of them. That's a crazy motherfucker.
For example, Ed Gein.
That's a crazy motherfucker.
Ed Gein was a crazy motherfucker.
This person is evil.
Yes.
This person is fucking, this is an, if you want to know what evil is, it is Clifford Robert Olson.
Yes.
When kids get involved, it gets real
fucking
real dark
evil.
Real quick.
Fucking evil. So, they call him the Beast of British Columbia. And I saw one article that said that the tabloids were calling him the rent-a-car killer because he would always get a new rent-a-car.
He self-titled the Beast of British Columbia. He gave himself that name.
Oh, he was a publicity monster.
Oh, he was. He was a publicity whore.
Yeah, he gave himself that name because he rejoiced in the title of serial killer.
Yeah, yeah.
He enjoyed it.
So he was born January 1st, 1940. I've never trusted people born on January 1st.
This has come up before?
No, it's never come up before. I'm just letting you know.
You would expect that on like April Fools, like April 1st. Like, yeah,
people,
I never trust
people
them.
Who are born on Christmas or born on New Year's Day, they just have a weird childhood, and I don't trust them.
Jimmy Mahoney in the third grade stole your skateboard. Your skateboard.
So this,
oh man.
So this corroborates your story with fucked up childhood.
A little
you don't
bit,
trust
yeah,
him.
Little yeah. bit. I don't even know where to fucking start with this guy. He ranked, finally, a guy named Stanley Semru, who was the top clinical psychiatrist in Canada who looked in criminal cases, ranked him at a 38 out of 40 on the Hale psychopathy test, and said it was the highest he's ever given and that he was the truest psychopath he had ever sat in a room with. But looking back, looking at his childhood, again, fairly normal childhood. Like there was, he wasn't like beaten in a whack and shed or anything. He was just kind of, I mean, unless a you guys uncovered shed. Something, I didn't
I
find.
I definitely want to mention that that psychopath test that later in the show, we're going to give it to Brad. So yes. Yeah, so
not the Hill. We're not doing the Hill psychopath.
No, but there though. Is a there's a psychopath test online that's from an actual legit place, and it gives you a rank and a score in real time. So we're gonna build up how creepy this guy is, and we know that he was what, a 35 or 38?
He was a 38 out of 40.
Yeah, I read two different ones. So 38 out of 40, and then we're gonna see. Brad has to honestly answer the questions, though. I don't want you to try to be psycho. I want you to answer it. And then we know that Brad likes to touch brains and beat up little kids and choke them out in the parking lot and whatnot.
You don't know that.
You kind of said it. You're self-professed. So we want to see how Brad ranks.
Yeah,
against
we'll see
him.
How, we'll see
end,
how
yeah.
he ranks. So he was the son of a milkman, which, again, this is 1940. So he was like a full on milkman with like a horse and carriage and would deliver milk. Yeah. His dad was named Clifford as well. His mom did housekeeping. She was named Leona. They had two other sons, one daughter. They lived just outside of Vancouver. Fairly normal family. Nothing overly religious, nothing overly crazy. Everything in there doesn't really point to abuse or some trauma in his childhood. He was just kind of fucking born evil.
I read that his dad was left, though, for the war and wasn't around, and that he was abused by a family member.
I hadn't read anything about the abuse. Yeah,
that might be another problem. This is one of those topics where everything was kind of spread out. There's not a YouTube video on it. You know, there's not really a documentary. There's a movie. There was a TV movie that Lifetime did, which I thought was appropriate, a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple books that were based on this guy.
Yeah.
So it's really the information spread out and wide.
The only
so
thing
maybe
that wasn't
we can bring it together
the
here.
The only thing that wasn't written was that I really found, other than some real crap, like 3-minute videos, was just an interview with a woman who wrote a book. And that was audio. So
right.
And that's one of the books that are written about him.
Yeah. Right. So that's interesting. I hadn't come across anything like that.
I heard
that.
Poor childhood, like the footnotes I wrote was poor childhood. Father wasn't around. He was away in World War II, and that he was manipulative as a child, and that he was abused by another family member at some point in time.
Well, I definitely read he was manipulative as a child.
Yeah.
He was a bully. He was a thief. He would, again, standard serial killer shit. He would harm cats and dogs just to sort of watch it happen.
And the super close to mom thing too, like weird bond with mom I read.
So, oh, I hadn't read that
which
either.
Which is that was someone else. A couple of them have
couple
actually.
Couple of them. Yeah, Edward Gein.
I think I'm out of this psycho thing, though, because I really don't like my mom.
Right.
I would stab her,
you had
show
Atari,
up to the funeral,
the
piss
Atari,
on her grave.
So you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think I'm safe.
Yeah. If you'd stab her and piss on her grave, that proves you're not a psycho.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think I'm out. I think I'm out of that.
She was already dead. So that's a different class.
She dead. She was dead when I pissed on her.
Right. Yeah. One example that I saw of shit that he did, which I thought was really weird, is he would go into neighbors' backyards and steal all their berries and flowers. And then he would wait for them to notice that all their berries and flowers were stolen. And he would come around to be a good kid to sell them berries and flowers that he had picked, which he stole from their yard in the first fucking place.
That's fucking ingenious.
I just like how
he was a con artist.
He was a con artist from the get-go.
But how 1940s that was, because the backyard was actually filled with berries and flowers.
Yeah.
Like yeah, and now then he came around to sell
Canada.
Them berries.
Now it's,
I suspect
barbecues and quads now.
I think in Canada it's probably still berries and flowers.
Yeah. And maple syrup.
Yep. Just everywhere. Raining
maple,
from the sky.
Like maple syrup. They have what's the Astroglide? They have maple syrup flavored Astroglide.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that stuff in Canada.
In Canada, they carry inverted umbrellas to catch all the maple syrup that rains from the heavens.
Yep. And how we, because they don't want it falling on the ground.
I'm pretty sure there's just faucets in the trees.
That's how we carry hot sauce everywhere. They have little bottles.
That's right.
Maple syrup holsters.
Maple syrup. That's might be a market for El Yucateco too, to tell them to make maple syrup flavored habanero sauce.
That's true.
And Canada would probably be the prime target.
They might go for it.
I'm gonna need you to cut this audio. We're gonna have to go.
So it's our idea, damn it. He was always getting into fights and losing when he was in school. Like he was always conning everyone and bullshitting people. He was always getting beat up.
Yep.
And then at one point he actually came to his dad and told his father, "I'm going to become a boxer." And his father encouraged it because he kept getting beat up by all the bullies. And then Well, he went in and became a really good boxer. And then he went around systematically and whooped the ass of every single person that bullied him when he was a child.
I like him right now.
fucking forget.
Yeah, payback.
And his coach, a guy named Tommy Tool,
he sounds
surprised.
Like a good businessman right now. Like he's starting out as a good businessman. Yeah.
What was the coach's name again?
Tommy Tool.
T-U-L-E.
It looks Tully. Let's call him Tully.
He's a Canadian mobster, no matter how you put it.
He even said that Olsen won the most sportsmanlike boxer at a Golden Gloves tournament in 1958. Because as a boxer, he was like followed all the rules, very legit, like very sportsman.
He's very dedicated.
Very dedicated. Yeah. So, but you know, this was again. I mean, if you're a psychopath and you have a place where you can vent your anger, you might just do very well in those circumstances, I think. But then all through childhood, constantly playing hooky, constantly truant.
It sounds like this guy didn't have Atari either.
He did not have Atari.
So here we go with another Atari.
Not in the 40s.
No Atari.
Travel through time.
Yeah.
Unified field theory.
Well, all the way through that. I mean, this is into the 80s. So
yeah, that's true. This is going to the 80s. He had a chance. Yeah. In his adulthood, he had a chance. He could have been playing Pong.
Yep.
He dropped out of school in eighth grade and lived with his folks. And he lived with his folks until July 19th, 1957, when he got arrested for the first time for breaking and entering. And this just started a life of crime for the next. That was age 17. And for the next 25 years, he spent all but four of them in jail.
God.
90 convictions over that time. Seven escapes.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Seven fucking escapes. But I guess he was so silver-tongued and smooth that for every escape that added time to his sentences, he also fooled people into lowering his other sentences because he was just like this consummate con man. Like he just talked his way out of fucking everything.
It's the same thing like after he was caught for committing these murders that he was caught for. You were only supposed to get telephone time like a couple of times a month or something like that. He would call like one of the reporters
daily,
like sometimes multiple times a day.
I don't
and
get it.
Laugh about how they were getting away with murder with the phone calls.
I don't get it.
Like that was like a quoted thing. Like, they were getting away with murder.
Yeah. And like, this is, it makes me, I mean, I'm sorry, Canadian listeners, but I have questions about the Canadian penal system.
Yeah.
Because he even, at one point I read a case when he was 25, he escaped prison and had a gun. He held hitchhikers at gunpoint for a while and then hid under a footbridge in freezing cold water for 3 hours.
How did he get a gun?
Until probably from the escape, like from a guard.
He's like, excuse me, guard, give me that gun. Hey?
Yeah.
Hey?
I don't know. But
he was a very charming man.
Yeah. He hid in freezing water for 3 hours and the article actually, I thought this was an odd detail, until a bloodhound named Tiger.
That's a lot of information.
Canadian. Yeah. But the bloodhound found him. They tracked him down. But it's, I mean, I don't understand how you break out of prison, hold people at gunpoint, get fucking wrangled up by a bloodhound and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and you still get out in a little bit. I don't fucking get it. Like this guy just—he must have been a fucking Jedi. Like he was just like fucking Jedi mind tricking people and getting out of prison. I don't understand.
He kind of was though. Like he did Jedi people. Like in some of the stories, he just completely like social engineers them. Just talks them into doing what he wants them to do.
I know. I want to hear the story with the guard. He's like, oh, I was just going for a walk.
Yeah.
Old Gigali down the road there. I saw a rabbit.
I think he just pissed off a country.
Well, the G golly is Minnesota.
Yeah, it is. It's just because my A kicked in, my G golly kicked in. Yeah. I couldn't help it.
Are you making cheese right now? Like, I don't understand what's happening. Wisconsin?
It was cold. It was cold where I was talking.
It was cold where you were talking. Don't.
It was close to the border, closer than we are.
Don't make fun of boot the Canadians.
Aboot. There you go. Aboot.
Yeah. This is his life, just fucking constant conning, constant prison. This is like all he's like from the earliest days of his life. He seduces a divorcee named Joan Hale, meets her in 1980.
So this is right before
this is right
murders. Yeah, so he gets out of prison and immediately gets with
Joan Hill.
Yeah.
They meet in February of 1980. They get married in May of 1981. A month after
these dates are important.
Their son Steve was born. So yeah. He's got a newborn son. He's a newlywed. And very shortly after that, and I have the date somewhere here, he gets arrested. August 12th, 1981 is when he gets arrested. And he gets arrested. He's near Port Alberni on Vancouver Island, and he's arrested on suspicion of trying to lure two female hitchhikers into his car. Now, that alone, like, makes me realize how creepy this guy must have been. By definition, if you're a hitchhiker, your goal
is to get in a car.
Yeah. But if you're so creepy that you get arrested for trying to get hitchhikers into your car, something's going wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the whole point of hitchhiking is to get into a car.
So this whole thing really escalated. Like, it took off from the beginning of where these stories start. And I don't think it's the beginning at all. But from where this story starts, from the beginning to the end where he's picking up these hitchhikers, things escalate.
Yes.
Like, extremely fast. Like, it starts out kind of here and there. And then by the time he's trying to pick up two people at once and, like, getting in trouble because he's needing it. Like,
right.
He's a fiend.
Now he's fucking up and making mistakes.
Yeah.
So they detain him for that. They realize he's got a dozen outstanding charges from previous crimes. So they take him in. And while they take him in, they finally make a connection between him and the murder of a girl named Judy Cosma, whose body had been discovered with multiple stab wounds on July 25th. And this was on August 12th when they arrested him. And he had already been a suspect for several murders at this point by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Yeah.
They just never had enough. They never had any evidence to pin him to anything.
Right.
There were no bodies. There was a string of missing children between the ages of 9 and 18. Mm-hmm. The media was starting to say this is a serial killer. There was starting to become a lot of pressure on the police. They were looking at him as a person of interest, but they couldn't. Like, while
nothing.
They were observing him, he hadn't done anything.
I read at one point they even tried to employ him as an informant and try to entrap him. But I was like, an informant? How so? Like, how did they pitch that to him? Like, he hadn't officially on the record
killed
anyone.
He knows the streets.
Yeah, they were
though,
like, you're a bad guy. What do you think? Like,
right.
They were trying to employ him as that. And then one point,
that's how desperate they were, though.
They like, even had him under, and because of that later plays in, because they had recorded conversations of him while he was supposedly becoming a paid informant that they use against him later.
Right.
They had some audio tapes. And then they even put him under surveillance at one point in time, but uncharacteristically, like, he did nothing wrong. Like, somehow they caught him in some little part where they were, like, trying to watch him and monitor him, and he did absolutely nothing wrong and minded all his P's and Q's, and then they had to quit because they're like, well, this is a waste of time. Maybe it's not this guy.
Right. So the timing works out that at the time of his marriage, when he got married to Joan Hale, he had already killed three kids, like, right before the marriage.
Yep.
And within a week of getting married, he killed another victim. His fourth victim died within a week. Like, within the honeymoon phase, he killed his fourth victim. And I've got a list of the victims I'm trying to find.
Well, that's
the audio interview that I listened to. She was talking. She said that the wife had suspicions that he was up to something. Like, he would come home and be, like, washing a hammer in the sink. And she'd be like, why are you washing a hammer in the sink? And he would just respond with, like, I've washed hammers in the sink since I was a child. Like, what's so weird about that? And get defensive about it. So she had, like, some serious suspicions of, like, something's up with him, but his Jedi mind trick.
Right. And she said later that he would get drunk and get abusive.
Right.
And that at one point he even held a knife to her throat.
I mean, we all do that.
So let's,
come on.
Right, it happens. It happens.
It was a butter
knife. Let's talk about, before we get into, like, the murders and the gruesome stuff, let's talk about the money that he extorted out of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
it's a thing that they call, they ended up calling it Cash for Bodies. Yeah. So
that's a program they had. I tried really hard to figure out how they justified it.
That's like Cash for Clunkers in California. Yeah. Like.
No, it's not a program they had. This is just what they called it.
He did this.
I know that their original intent was like, they're not really going to be paying this money.
Here's the thing. No, from what I read from some of the guys, they were intending to pay him.
Yeah.
There was a media circus about these missing children, and there was massive pressure on the police department to solve this case. The cops knew, like all of them knew, this is the fucking guy that did it. Like this guy killed these people and we cannot pin it to him. So they basically appealed to his greed and they said they were going to pay him $30,000 for evidence of the first four bodies that he killed. And then they would pay him $10,000 per body after that.
Yeah. So he did 11 and he called the 11th one a freebie.
A freebie. Yeah.
He gave him a freebie.
Yeah. That was actually the first one, though.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to, because they needed a sign of good faith.
That
like,
was,
can
that
you
was,
actually point to? And it was a really dicey gamble because the cops were like, if this guy flakes out on this, we have no evidence and we're going to have to cut him loose.
Yeah.
And then he's thinking, if I show him this proof, I'm not going to get the money.
Yeah.
You know? So they were both, like both sides were kind of wishy-washy on doing this.
But when you're a Jedi serial killer,
and he, at one point when he first makes the deal, his wife even said later on in a court of law, like he called his wife and said, honey, you're going to be rich and was all happy about it.
Yeah. So this is the other thing. So he got, let's clear this up. He got $100,000 put into an account for his wife and his son.
Yes.
That was his goal and his terms.
Mm-hmm.
He got the money. The money came. He got $100,000 in the account. So another thing surfaced in 2010. It was reported that he had been getting a total of $1,169.47 monthly since he'd been put in prison. So he'd been getting benefits the entire time he was in prison.
It's Canadian's like version of social. Yeah,
but it wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah. So somehow.
No, actually, they have a whole big thing about that. They all receive that. They said there's like there was a big thing. I read into it. Like tons of inmates are receiving that because they're over the age of 60 or whatever the Canadian limit is, and they still receive that income.
And they're not supposed
to. It would save the Canadian government $7 million a year or something.
Yeah, because they're in prison.
If they stopped giving prisoners that money.
Hmm.
And they still, there's like a no clauses gray area where like, well, they're over 60, they qualify. Nothing says that if you're incarcerated, you can't receive this money.
Oh, so this guy's manipulated the system.
Oh yeah. He's a master of manipulating shit. And then at one point after that was settled, he's finally convicted of his murders, et cetera. He actually, like the seven families of the victims banded together and put a lawsuit up in front. It went all the way up. It went to a federal court right under the equivalent of their Supreme Court. And then that high court shot it down and said, we're not looking at this any further. But they were trying to get the money back from her because they said that you've basically been paying a murderer like $100,000. But the judges kept ruling, no, this was all done in good faith. Like this was part of the arrangement to convict him. He was going to give us this evidence. He lived up to his end of the deal. And I think a lot of the courts were also worried that if they took the money back, then somehow it could make the case unravel even after everything came out or whatever. But so the money stayed. And in that court case, when things were going on, he was there and in the first court case, when the money thing first happened, I just have a note. He looked at his wife and touched her on the shoulder and said, what can I say, honey? I did it. It was the booze and pills when he was talking.
Then he became a country singer.
Yeah.
Directly after that.
That's right.
His first album came out.
So she ends up with $100,000. She lives with his parents and their grandson, I guess, in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And just tries to fucking lead a normal life after this.
We should make a shirt that has that quote on the front of it.
So, yeah. It was, sorry, honey, it was the booze and pills.
Yeah, sorry, honey, what can I say? I did it. It was the booze and pills.
Yeah.
So then it comes out that he killed 11 people that he confessed to and pointed directly to the bodies and explained how they were killed, et cetera. Like they confirmed that he definitely knew this. And it was Judy Cosma, who was 14, Darren John Shrewd, 16.
Hold on. Let me read the list from beginning to end
okay,
and the dates. Because this right here kind of caught me because I saw, and this is from Wikipedia. So it has the murders, and then right under that, it has like the stuff about the money. And that's kind of like what drew me into this guy, because I'm like, fuck, this guy's insane.
Right.
And the dates, it was just at one after another after another, 11 people in a year. Like, this
he's
is
like a children hitman. Like, he got all paid for killing
kids. Yeah, all while he got out of prison, got married, had a baby, and all during this, like, he looks like he's cleaning his life up, you know, and doing, you know, decent with the family, and then he's killing people all on the side, like crazy. So the first one, Christine Weller, age 12, was abducted on November 17, 1980. The body was found a month later on Christmas Day.
Mm.
So you just got, you know, where your daughter was found, 12 years old, Christmas Day. Ruins Christmas forever. She had been strangled with a belt, stabbed repeatedly. On April 16th, 81, Colleen Marion, man, these names are weird, Dagnault, she was 13, vanished. 5 months later, her body was found on April 22nd, 1981. Darren Todd Johnsrud, he was 16, abducted and killed. His body was found less than 2 weeks later, May 19th, 81. 16-year-old Sandra Wolfsteiner.
Yep.
Am I saying that right? Was murdered. And 13-year-old Ada Anita Court was murdered in June of 81. So, that was, so those ones were the kind of spread out ones. And this is why I said it kind of escalated. Right. So it went from, you know, here and there to, six victims. Simon Partington, he was 9, was abducted, raped, strangled on the second day of the month.
He was the youngest.
Yeah, he was the youngest. Judy Cosmo, who you mentioned, 14. She was raped, strangled a week later. Her body was discovered on July 25th near a lake. The next victims were Raymond King II, 15, abducted on July 23rd, raped and bludgeoned to death. So all these are raped. Like, every one of them has been raped.
Yes.
Well, if you're going to kill him, I mean.
Singren Arndt, kind of he was an 18-year-old German tourist. He was raped and bludgeoned 2 days later. Terry Lynn Carson, 15, raped and strangled. And they didn't say stabbed, on July 27th. And then Luis, Charterand, 17, the last victim identified, who died on July 30th. So those last in succession were just in July of 1981.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first six were like spread out over half a year.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them were like
one
in
month.
A month.
Yeah. Six murders in a month, just on a spree.
Yeah.
And so the book that I mentioned, it's called Predator. And it basically was, a book about Clifford Olson and basically what had happened and in the murders in detail.
It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And it's called Predator, the Life and Times of Serial Killer Clifford Olson. And it's written by a guy named Peter Worthington. If you're like a serial killer buff and you want to read some horrible fucking shit, read this book. Because the excerpt that Brad and I read really fucked us up.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about that? I mean,
sure. Yeah. So apparently Peter Worthington had interviewed, Olson several times, for a while, like interviewed him, got his story, got all this stuff, and also accessed 50 manuscripts and recordings of other interviews to assemble the stories of exactly what happened to every single victim and what he did. And this is really fucking awful. Like, and this is the case of, Terry Lynn Carson.
Yeah. Which was the second to last one that he murdered. She was 15 years old.
Yes. So, apparently she was on her way to a mall and she was going to a job interview at a pet store.
Yep.
And he stopped and picked her up and used his fucking Jedi mind trick and convinced her to get in the car and said, "Hey, I'm going there too."
Well, his whole MO, like, did you guys read that? Like, his whole thing was that he would pretend that he was an employer. He was looking for kids that would work and would offer him $10 an hour, which in the 80s was like, damn.
Yeah. The minimum wage was $3.50.
Right. Yeah. He had like business cards or something made up. He'd get him in the car. Then he would do things like try to offer him beer or alcohol and be like, "I'm a cool boss. Like, we're going to have fun." fun, this and that. Yeah. And that was his whole
thing. Yeah, any of them that were in their, like, their mid to late teens, his whole thing was, and he, again, he would look at malls, he would look at video game arcades, and he would even post notices on his church bulletin board to get kids to meet up
with him. We didn't mention that. He had found God.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Bible thumper.
He was a Bible thumping, church going.
Yep, Bible held down the coffee table at
something
the house.
Else that's really notable is he didn't kill all the victims. Like, there's a bunch of them that he let go. He said his, like, biggest regret is he didn't have to kill them. He said, a kid never turned me in. I don't know why I killed them. Some of them he just killed. And he said he was actually had some type of, it doesn't seem like with his profile, but he had some kind of, like, regret or remorse about it. And that it was, if a kid refused to have sex with him, he generally dropped them back off. But if his mind trick power manipulation worked and he got into that, then he killed him. But, like, there were several that he actually let go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, in that interview.
Weren't even on there. Okay.
A lot of that was in the audio interview that I listened to of the girl that wrote the book. So that's probably why you guys aren't seeing some of this
stuff
that I found.
See some of that
and she said that, if a girl had refused to have sex with him, he would just drop him back off. Like, I think he got into the manipulation aspect of it. But
at some point, though, during the rapid fire towards the end, he was actually drugging him and having sex with them. So the manipulation
got too
was
many
no
no's.
Longer.
Yeah. The Cosby is it's a better return on investment.
So in this particular case,
this is the OG Cosby.
Yeah.
Right,
this is. So he says,
not really. That's probably when Cosby was big. Actually, that's when Cosby was doing.
Oh, maybe in the 80s. Yeah.
So he, again, just like you said, he offers Terry Lynn a job making $10 an hour. She was going to a job interview at a pet store to make $3.50 an hour. He says, "Oh, I'm going to the same mall because I'm doing construction on three different shops in the mall."
He was like, quoted, "Oh, you're actually in construction. He said, "Oh, you like puppies?" He says, "How you like these puppies?" That was a quote. Yeah, I read that in an interview.
But
Brent and his corny joke.
He starts talking. He's like, "No, you know, here's the thing." And he tells her, like, "I have to go over to this construction site. Why don't you ride with me? Like, you're hired."
I like how Brent throws. At first, when we first started doing the podcast, I told him, I said, "Just if you think it's funny, just fucking put it out there. Who cares if you look stupid? It's funny, like, whatever." And take that advice from me, Brent. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
But me and
I'm
David
laughing
at
my own jokes
at him.
So hard.
You are. You're and like red in the face.
And me and David just like looking at him, like, "What are you laughing at?"
So he picks her up, says that, like, "You're already hired, like, making $10 an hour." And he says, look, he tells her, "I have 135 males and 17 females that work for my construction company." He says some apartment complex that just got built. He says, "Yeah, I built those apartments." And she was like, "Oh, really?"
Yeah.
She was like, "Well, what would I do as a female? I can't do construction." And he said, "You know, I have the females, like, clean the carpets once we lay them in and wash
paint
the windows and,
stuff,
and do stuff like that." And she was like, "Okay." So she was like, and he even said, like, "Look, I have to drive over here and get some stuff. It's going to take about 3 hours. I'll bring you right back home. I'll meet your mom and dad."
Yeah.
Like, "I'll have them sign the paperwork. We'll make everything official." And she was like, "Awesome."
And he's like, "Think about it. You already made 30 bucks.
Exactly. He said, "Think about it. You'll already make 30 bucks by the time I drive you back home." Yeah. And she was like, "Sweet." And inevitably there's like a cooler full of beer in the back of his rental car. And he gets her to start drinking beers. He starts drinking beers.
So the backstory on this too, though, was he just happened to pick up the right girl at the right time because her mom was struggling with keeping
she
the money.
She could barely pay the rent.
Barely pay the rent. Yeah. Everybody was having to do their part.
He somehow profiled kids from broken homes.
Yes.
I don't know how you go about doing that.
So
you judge their clothes. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's a backstory. Like it really, I don't know. Maybe it's in the books and whatnot, but
maybe he was watching
really
longer
that.
Than that.
Yeah,
yeah, he might have been.
Yeah,
I think he said that a lot of them came from his church, so he might have already gone to a church and seen them or whatever. But so at some point they switch from beers to vodka and orange juice, which is a really horrible.
Yeah.
Thing.
It's a screwdriver. You know the story behind screwdriver?
Yes, it's a screwdriver.
But you know where that came from?
No.
Construction workers used to pour vodka and their orange juice on job sites. And they used a screwdriver to stir it up. That's actually where that.
Well, we're gonna get to the screwdriver.
We're gonna get to the screwdriver later, and it's gonna make you go, "Oh, that's really fucking horrible, really fucking." Like when I reread the story, and I was like, "Oh Jesus, they're drinking screwdrivers."
Yeah,
like, "Oh, is that intentional? Because that's fucked up."
Yeah, I think.
I think it was intentional.
But for sure, this guy was fucked.
So, and then he tells her, hey, we've both been drinking a little too much. We need to sober up before we get to the job site.
Yeah.
And he tells her that there's pills in the glove box that'll help him sober up. And she's like, what kind of pills? And they're like, trust me, they're pills that'll sober you up. Let's each take three. So she takes three and then he takes three. But as soon as she washes him down, he spits his three out. And this is all on the court records and everything.
He can't learn like a sleight of hand magic trick. He actually has to put him in his mouth and spit him out.
Yeah, but she just wasn't looking.
He spits him back out.
Yeah.
And he convinces her to take three more. And these just fucking roofie her. I don't know what medication she's like, these aren't working.
He said that they were to counteract the alcohol.
Right.
This girl had bad parents for the record.
So she falls unconscious. He drives to a parking lot, takes off her jean and panties, and rapes her in a couple of seconds. Okay.
In the parking lot of a bank.
In the parking lot of a bank.
He goes in, cashes some cashier's check.
No. He rapes her.
Then he goes in. That's right.
Cashes some cashier's
check. Sodomizes her.
Yes. Sodomizes her. Important. She's pulls her pants back up, leaves her in the car, goes in to do his banking.
Comes out.
Drives to the middle of nowhere near a hydro substation.
No. He goes to another bank.
Oh, did he?
To another bank parking lot. Rapes her again.
Okay.
Because she was still lethargic. He said he was trying to wake her up. And then drives back
to the hydro substation. At the hydro substation, he lays a blanket out, strips her completely of all of her clothes, rapes her again. And at that point she starts to wake up and kind of resist, which turned him on even more, apparently, cause he's a fucking sicko. So at this point, and this is where it gets disturbing. Cause up until now, apparently it hasn't been disturbing.
Paint the scene. She's face down on this blanket in a field, just nowhere. There's probably trees and there's a creek nearby.
Yes.
She's face down, spread eagle, you know, with her legs open, fully nude. And she's starting to kind of move around. Yeah. So he gets his tool of choice, which is
a screwdriver, and he puts
a hammer,
and he puts the screwdriver over her temple and says in his interviews that he just let it sit there for a while and watched this.
And I read, he looked at the hammer, looked at the screwdriver, looked at her, looked at the hammer, looked at the screwdriver, looked at her, and then
drove the screwdriver to the hilt into her skull.
Jesus Christ.
Which didn't kill her.
No, she's still breathing.
Which
turned him on even more.
Yes. So he gets the screwdriver out and the screwdriver breaks and he's having to claw it out of her head with the hammer's claw.
So the handle pulls off the screwdriver. And if you know,
did they have Harbor Freight back then?
I don't know, but this is it's probably a wooden one. piece of shit screwdriver. Well, it did the job. Actually, it didn't even kill her.
It didn't do the job.
So, but if you know, a screwdriver has like little prongs on it after the handle comes off to keep it in. So he was using the hammer to kind of claw out, like you would a nail out of a board, the screwdriver out of her head.
Oh.
So he gets it out.
She's still not dead. And the fact that she's still not dead turns him on even more. Yes. So he sodomizes her again.
Yes.
And then takes her over to the creek, puts her face down in the river, and stands on her neck and shoulders until the bubbles stop coming out.
And then stood there for a little while longer to make sure. And then he covered her with some brush.
Yep.
Because he knew that any just passerby wouldn't really see it. But then sooner or later, the workers would find her.
Yeah.
Yeah. God.
So that was one.
That's one account. I studied, but I did not find what you guys found.
And there is the just short and sweet version of it.
Like, yeah.
There's the whole.
Oh, the whole. Yeah.
Recount of from when she's standing at the bus stop and he's talking to her, trying
details
to coerce her into the car. Yeah. And just the whole thing of how you see this thing escalate. Like, I just got goosebumps. Like, legit. Like, you see this thing escalate when she's in the front seat of his car.
Because you're turned on, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Can't wait for the test.
but you see this thing escalate, and this is towards the end, and he's getting desperate, and he rapes her and sodomizes her. I mean, in the story, what, fucking six or seven times? It's just like, he's like, oh, she moved a little bit, and she's unconscious, and oh, she's dying, and I don't care if she's dead or alive, and I mean, I'm fucking her, like, because it's turning me on even more,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it's like,
and again, and so, I mean, even just the way that it goes down,
And she's 15, mind you. Like, yeah. This isn't even, yeah. You know, not that, not
that's
that,
where Brad draws a line.
Not that all lives don't matter, yeah. But I mean, when you start getting into children and, yeah. I mean, just the brutality of yeah. what this guy did.
Yeah.
I mean, so this girl was, and even in the Wikipedia, she was raped and strangled, doesn't even mention the stabbing. So it could be missing him on all these other ones. Right. Who knows what he did to the little
kids?
They
refer to that as strangled, standing on her shoulders underwater.
Well, said it stood on her neck. It might've been that maybe that's what ultimately
maybe there are blood saliva
unless
bubbles.
Unless they got it mixed up. But yeah, she was asphyxiated.
And then even the case of Judy Cosma, I read a thing very briefly on it, and this was before he got arrested, but apparently he recorded her dying, and then he called the landlord of the Cosma family and played the tape.
Of the girl dying.
Yeah, I read that in one of the articles. And then he also called some of her friends and said that they were going to be next.
Wow.
This is why I'm saying this guy isn't just crazy. He's fucking evil.
How does he even have her friend's phone numbers? Like, how resourceful is this guy? There's no internet.
No. So with the case of Terry Lynn, who he stabbed a screwdriver into her head, he talked to her and she's like, oh, my girlfriends need jobs too. And he's like, oh, yeah. God. So he's just getting information. Yeah.
Exactly. Social engineering.
He probably had their numbers. Like who knows? And he's probably watching and waiting and trying to figure out a way. How can I contact this person? I know they need a job.
And again,
there, you have bits of information that they don't have.
I used to think it was funny just to refer my friends to like solar people. Like, oh yeah, my friend actually was looking for solar. Oh, timeshare.
Is that why I keep getting calls?
Like, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Upset about it.
I might be sicking somebody on something. Yeah.
So even another example that some of the stuff
they
that
get
I was
into your
like,
house. Yeah. Like the solar people. House. Yeah. All they come in and talk to you. And,
yeah. No, I was like, okay, this guy's not crazy. He's fucking evil. And again, even once he made the cash for bodies deal, part of it was, he had to drive around with the cops to point
I
out
love
where the stuff
cash
was.
For bodies.
Yeah. Cash
deal.
For bodies. And one of the cops who was riding with him. So the scenario was he was in the front car. Behind him, there was a car of cadaver dogs and bloodhounds. And then behind that were two more cars of other cops and forensic experts while he's driving around. They've got him in a disguise because he's on the media and he's so hated. Yeah. So they've got him in a disguise. From one account I read, they actually had him dressed like a cop. So it didn't look odd that he was in this caravan.
He talked him into that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's like, hey, dress me like
a cop.
It's cool badge.
Yeah, yeah. Good idea.
Tomorrow I'm going to be an Indian, and then on Wednesday I'll be a construction worker.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they're like, that sounds good. That sounds awesome.
And then you'll take me to the YMCA. So he goes on the body search, and he insisted between body recoveries that they would take him to nice steak restaurants and buy him steak dinners.
Are you fucking kidding
me? No, motherfucker, dude.
So they would uncover a body. They would take him to a steakhouse. He would eat a steak and a baked potato.
Hold on, no.
And then he would find another one.
Did he fuck the steak?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know. He's like, I got to go to the bathroom, take a piece of meat, got
no,
it with me.
Unfucking believable, this guy. So
Brent is in disbelief right now.
And then
this
he would
shit's
get,
unheard of.
No, yeah. He would get back to jail, and part of the agreement with the money was that no one could find out about it. Like the press would never find out about this because they wanted to get the conviction in and all this stuff. So he started calling reporters from jail and saying, hey, today we went out, had myself a steak. We uncovered so-and-so's body. I got $10,000 for it. And then the cops and the DAs and everything were having to call the reporters and say, you cannot report any of this because this is a pending case and it's going to ruin the case. And this guy's going to fucking get out if you report this
He's
stuff.
So smart. He was
none
smart.
Of the reporters reported anything, but the cops were constantly having to he call knew. The reporters so, and say, do not say I, anything man, about
I just
this.
Had the most horrible thought that I don't even want to put in the universe, but I'm doing it. Like, how do we not have the Instagram killer? Like, that guy was just like old school, like publicizing.
I'm sure we do.
No, that's what I'm saying. How has it not happened yet? Where like all of a sudden some Instagram account, like pictures just start showing up, like celebratory, like brags of it happening. You know what I mean?
I'm sure
that's on the horizon.
There,
yeah. That
I'm sure
happening.
I'm sure it's out there. The feds are looking at it as we speak, I'm certain. But some of his prison stuff, he like right when he got arrested, He did all this crazy shit.
I've been wanting, I'm having trouble like figuring out my Instagram. Like I want something different.
That could be your thing.
Yeah. For a new hobby? That could be my thing. Like that could just be the thing. You go on my Instagram, like Dave's is cool. Got topics about the show, you know, in his life. And then, you know, Brent has his stuff. And then mine's like, you go on there and it's just dead bodies. Like just pictures of dead bodies and limbs.
Just somebody would be into it.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
Yeah. No, not cool stuff.
Just do it with mannequins or something, and then we'll get some like.
No, that'd be cool.
It'll be a good publicity stunt.
Dead bodies and dead animals, like blown up and stuff. Like if I see a nice picture of a cat,
can you do that not on Soap King Brad? Can you do that on a different one, please?
Why? That's part of me.
We're gonna have to rewrite the partnership agreement.
Yeah. So here's part of it. So he gets to jail again. He's savvy enough to cut this deal and set up $100,000 for his fucking wife and kids, which I doubt he gave a shit about his wife and kids. I think he just wanted to manipulate. I think he just wanted to juice the system.
Yeah,
he's like, I wonder if I can get some money out of these motherfuckers, you know? But while he's in jail, like still in this early trial phase, he ends up getting stabbed 7 times by a gang because he identifies several of the jail drug couriers to authorities inside the jail.
Ratted.
So in order to get a better sound and stuff, he's like, this guy, and this guy are smuggling drugs in. They all got busted for it. So the gang corners him and stabs him seven times.
Yeah. He didn't die. He's like 57.
he's all 7 times. That's all you got. I did 19.
Exactly.
She was 12.
Yeah. So also, he managed to, like, he met an inmate and fucking Jedi mind tricked him and got evidence that some other random person in jail raped and murdered a 9-year-old girl. And he gave enough evidence of what this guy confessed to actually get him convicted for the rape and murder of this girl, and just gave it to the authorities. Wow. Like he's inside.
He was like the worst like serial killer, Mr. Do-Gooder.
Yeah,
and he was like cleaning out the prison.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So they ended up having to put him in a special cell in the middle of nowhere where he couldn't talk to guards and he couldn't talk to other prisoners, and he would be in there for 23 hours a day, and then they would take him out to get some exercise.
Did you see what they found in his X-ray?
No.
Yes. Go for it.
No. What?
For whatever, I don't know if it was just to look for something or if it was some medical thing.
He was complaining of back pain in 1992.
That's okay. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went and got an X-ray and they found keys to handcuffs and shackles in his bowels.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's like some cartoon shit.
He's like fucking serial killer Houdini.
Yeah, exactly.
This was awesome.
And at that point, they transferred him to like some crazy supermax because they're like, holy shit, this guy has fucking keys.
Like, how did he get keys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So he made 5 attempts over the next 7 years to get into general population. He flew to Vancouver at least once as part of a, like, out of his super max thing.
It was a mini vacation.
As part of a bogus deal to uncover more bodies. But basically, it was a mini vacation. They flew him to a nicer jail where he could manipulate people and do shit.
Oh, my God.
He, in his daily life in prison, he wrote all day, he read the Bible, he exercised. The guards said that part of his exercise kind of freaked him out because he would jump from his cot to his desk back and forth, and they said he looked like a monkey, but he would do it all day to like get exercise.
Did he do like stabbing like maneuvers? Like he's like, part of his exercise.
When finally had to move him to a less secure wing because that wing was shut down. They built a special plexiglass screen around the entire cell so he couldn't communicate with other prisoners or guards, and so guards couldn't throw things in and light him on fire, and because everybody wanted him fucking dead.
Kill this motherfucker. Yes. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yep. But get this.
Everybody wanted him dead, but the
evil government. The evil isn't done yet. I was still like, oh, maybe this guy's just crazy. But he wrote pornographic and detailed accounts of his murders while he was in prison, and he mailed them to the families of the children who he raped and murdered.
Fuck,
how did he get their addresses?
He had their fucking addresses. And he sent them letters because no one was screening his mail because Canada.
Those people didn't move, and he picked the kids up.
Right.
He probably knew where they lived.
Right.
You don't remember that.
So eventually,
you're not him.
And he also wrote pornographic postcards and sent them to key members of Parliament.
That's funny. And
apparently the thing about Parliament is what made him finally start screening his letters, and that's when they discovered he was sending.
You piss off a shadow chancellor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and then at his
Chancellor of Justice is going to get you.
That's right.
Yeah.
At his final release hearing, and this is why it was his final release hearing, he, get this, this is like, okay, evil, fucking done deal. He goes to the fucking early release hearing, and he brings with him some artwork. Seems innocent enough. Yeah. The artwork is collages he's made out of the magazines he was allowed to have in his cell. And he had cut together children in pornographic poses or in poses where they were dead and mangled exactly as he killed the children and held it up so all of the families of the victims could see it.
Why did they let him bring that while he was in court?
He just like continued to torture the families
of
these poor victims.
Like, evil fucking bastard.
Let him get away with it as well.
Because like, he fucking Jedi mind tricked him.
This guy, and that's why I said, like, this guy is worse than I mean, he was compared to Ted Bundy, you know, because Ted Bundy was kind of the charismatic, you know, go and pick him up and right. kill him, you know. This guy was way worse.
Fucking horrible.
How does Ted Bundy get so much, you know, like movies and shit about him, you know right. what I mean? Like, this right. guy was way worse. Charles Manson. This guy, way worse.
Ed Gein, I don't know.
Ed Gein was nuts.
But Ed like, Gein was fucking crazy.
He was crazy. He killed less people for sure.
Killed fewer people, or even if he killed more people, he wasn't like, I don't know. This is just like, if you want an example of what it means to be evil,
look
up Clifford Robert Olson.
Yeah, and so this was my serial killer pick of the week because, I should start doing that. That's a good one. Serial killer pick of the week. Because this guy just surpasses, I mean, everybody that I know about, I might be wrong and I'm sure I'm going to find new and special serial killers. But
so again, I said it at the beginning of the show and I'll say it again. Fuck you, Brad.
Yeah.
For making me delve into this realm of darkness for hours and hours doing this research.
Yeah. And we read a paragraph a paraphrased version of the killing of, the young 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Terry.
Yes.
Carson.
Terry Lynn Carson.
But when you actually read, I'm not into reading a whole lot. You know, like I'll read and I skip through and figure stuff out. I was drawn in and read this whole thing and it just paints this picture for you.
If you want to read that whole thing, the whole excerpt is if you just Google Clifford Robert Olson and you look for Huffington and Huffington Post, it comes up and it ends up being like a 3-page article. The first page is kind of like a brief summary, but then if you click to the second page, it's where it gets into like the really in-depth full.
But it talks about the author who is the journalist who has
Peter Worthington who wrote it.
So the guy who wrote it is actually the guy who talked to him. Yeah. I mean, he knows this guy on an intimate level. He would go visit him in prison, talk to him on the phone multiple times a day. You know,
and so, I know a lot of people love true crime fiction and love reading the fucking horror stories. This is it. So that book, Predator, The Life and Crimes of Serial Killer Clifford Olson, the fucking 3-page excerpt I read was enough for me to say, no, thank you. I don't ever need that in my brain again. This motherfucker, evil, sadistic.
I want to point out something that I learned about Dave this week, which was not surprising. I mean, obviously he is an English professor. He has to read papers. He has an unfair studying advantage clearly over Brad and I. I handed him the whiskey letter, we'll call it, and he opened it up. I shit you not, like Johnny Five from Short Circuit. He opened this letter. It's a full page of lined paper, and I don't think I'm exaggerating. I felt like he looked at it for like 4 seconds and was like, oh, that's nice, and set it back down. And I was like, bitch, that's rude. Like, fucking read that shit. Someone wrote it for us. He's like, I did. I was like, yeah, like, where's she from? And he's like, he knew. Like, he mentioned little notes from what was in the letter, but he, like, it looked like a joke. Like, he held up the letter, was like, oh, that's nice. And the time that it took him to, like, unfold it and fold it back.
I spent an hour on the Huffington Post website. Dave was there for 3 minutes.
Yeah, literally can, like, run his hand down the page, and that's the speed at which he reads it. It's not
what's the
cool
thing where he's like the fucking dude who sleeps on books and fucking knows them.
Apparently.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, I have a whack and shed out back. I sleep on the Bible.
Yeah.
And then he can
yeah.
he can spit out 100% comprehension like Tone Loke over here.
Yeah.
Glad to have you, Dave. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I have like, it takes me way longer to read and I have like 30% comprehension. Do I have to go back? Well,
and then
like
I have to be stuff? Into it. And if it's gory fucking screwdriver stabbing, it's
yeah, Brent's
it's
out.
Hard for me.
Yeah, so yeah. next topic, Brent will be in more.
I have a very particular set of skills.
All right. the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That's right.
I have a particular theory about who he really was.
Oh God.
He was taken over by none other than the person who faked their death, Gary Coleman.
How so?
Well, okay, so he's short and stocky, which
oh, you have
fits
to take
the
your,
profile.
You have to take your test. You gotta take
fits
your
fits the profile. He has wavy brown hair. And he basically Gary Coleman faked his death. Shapeshifted into this guy and was angry at all the other kids because he couldn't, he started killing kids because he found out when he tried to get the adults, they were too much for him to handle. So
right.
that's why it stayed in the kid realm.
It's a size right. thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, size thing. So even frail teenagers he could handle, but anything above that, it was rough.
I guess it also explains how he could like Jedi mind trick the guards. They'd be like, you know, you need to get into the cell. He'd be like,
what
you talking
about
prison guard?
Yeah, and they're like,
and then they'd be like, oh, you're right. What am I talking about?
Yeah,
you know
it's
what?
Crazy talk. It's crazy talk.
For a second, I thought Brad was crazy, but the time frame.
That is the right time.
He probably knew Bill Cosby.
Yeah,
that's true.
And that might be where
they're
he got those pills.
I'm just telling you.
That is the time frame.
You know, so are you still down with taking the psychopath
test?
Let's
go.
All right, let's see what's up. So,
are you keeping tally for me or what? Because I'm just
It just does it.
Okay.
Like it does it for you. All right. So what's your age?
34.
All right. And what is your gender?
Right. Male.
Moving on. All right. So the following are true or false questions.
Okay.
So I never, never get tongue-tied. Is that a trick question?
I never, never get tongue-tied. False.
Okay. In important ways, I'm superior to most people. I might be able to answer these for you.
Yes.
I am prone to boredom.
Yes.
Oh, man. I have high hopes for this right now. I lie to make things go smoother.
Yes.
I cheat people out of things.
Yes.
Be totally honest on this though, okay? I really want your score.
Do I cheat people? Okay, so do I cheat people
I don't know,
out
you could,
of things?
That could be some manipulation. Like if you, I don't want to make you like admit some deep secrets on here, but like
no, I don't. No, I'll be real. I'll be real.
So
no,
so, no false on that.
Out of anything.
All right. I rarely feel guilty. So I think that's true.
True.
Yeah. I am an emotional person.
True.
That might go against your psycho. I rarely connect emotionally with others.
True.
I often get others to pay for things for me.
False.
I am impatient.
True.
I am promiscuous.
False.
This could be your whole life. You don't have to answer for this period in your life.
Yeah, I'd say false.
Okay. Patient was true. It didn't click. I am promiscuous. False. I was a problem child.
True.
I have difficulty staying committed in long-term goals.
True.
I am impulsive.
True.
I frequently perform sloppy work.
False.
I try to evade responsibility.
True.
My romantic relationships usually fall apart quickly.
False.
I am committed. I committed some crimes as a juvenile.
True.
Who didn't?
The butter knife drunken.
Who hasn't killed? I mean, who hasn't killed somebody?
Come on. I was a juvenile.
Yeah. Cause you know, you're
if I had been caught, it would have been expunged.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have violated a probation order.
True.
Oh shit. We're learning some things today. I have committed many types of crimes.
True. I mean, illegal fireworks are a crime and
true.
Stuff like that. So yeah, you'd have to say,
jaywalking.
Yeah.
I am neither shy nor self-conscious. I speak with authority.
Man, that's a hard one.
That's an easy one. I'll fucking answer that.
Well,
answer what
do you say? Okay.
Yeah, you're not shy or self-conscious. Like you tell some motherfucker like it is. Like you talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I am exceptional.
True.
I need to take risks to feel alive.
True.
I am basically an honest person.
Yeah, I mean,
I like how you wait.
That's
for
weird.
That
it says basically, no,
yeah,
though. That's, like, yeah, it's basically, basically.
Yeah, for the record, we're like, making you bare your soul. I apologize. Yeah. I mean, this is personal.
I'd say true. I'm honest.
All right. I feel bad when I trick people.
False.
I knew that one. All right.
It's funny when your friends get hurt.
Yeah. If someone,
it's only funny if it's your friends.
You thought that jam came from South Dakota.
Oh, shit.
It's really anal seepage.
That explains that froth.
But I'm more curious about the seeds.
Yeah. There's seed in there, right?
If someone deserves it, I don't feel bad.
True.
I think strong emotions are for the weak.
False.
I think if people get offended, that's their problem.
True.
I have always taken care of myself.
True.
I never act hastily.
False.
I think sex should not be taken lightly.
False.
I was often in trouble at school.
True.
There's only like six left. I lack direction in my life.
False.
Trolls.
Trolls. Well, I mean, because, some of these are.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I never give in to temptation.
False.
I always keep my word.
Always. No. False.
My problems are mostly the fault of others.
False.
I don't like to commit in relationships.
False.
I was a bully in high school.
False.
You being honest?
Yeah, okay. I wasn't a bully. I didn't.
All right. I have been held in contempt of court.
False.
Last one. I am not or would not be proud of getting away with crimes. That's false. Come on, buddy. You know it's false.
What is it again?
If you got away with some crimes, you'd probably be happy about it.
If I got away with crimes?
It says, I am not or would not be proud of getting away with crimes.
False.
Watch, I'm going to hit submit. It's all page cannot be displayed.
Yeah.
I fucking hope it says that. You got a 23, so above 30 indicates that you're a psychopath.
All
so
right.
So I'm just, Brad, safe.
Yeah.
You're safe. You're safe.
So if you want to take the IQ test.
So as crazy as I am.
You're nowhere near this.
I'm not a psychopath. Yeah.
So that motherfucker got 38. Yeah. So I don't know which ones were the variables. Some of those were suspicious as far as like, this is probably the key question.
Well, and some of them are kind of tricky too. Cause like, you know, like you're.
And maybe if you would answer that shit on your couch at 10 p.m. while you're watching Netflix and nobody had to know, you might have answered a couple
questions. No, I think it's just kind of hard. Like, if you've lived a full life, there might have been a part of your life that was maybe a majority of your life that you were a certain way, but you've changed. Right. Like, there's some of those that if you asked me 5 years ago, they would be
different
answer. For sure.
And there's a lot of them I could tell you were struggling with because it's like a kind of yes and no.
Yeah, like, there's stuff it's kind of weird, but I guess that makes.
Let's call you 28 then. We'll just make it an even 28.
A 28. Yeah, I'm right under psycho.
That's fair. Yeah.
See, as crazy as I bet you guys would score higher, which is the scary part.
Yeah, it's hard to answer those things, honestly. I was at the time I was doing it, I was thinking to myself, like, fuck, I'm glad I didn't make me answer this on the air.
Am I promiscuous? Yes. I'll fuck anything.
That apple pie is trash.
Including my steak and potatoes.
You wonder why my cat's always hiding.
there's ten cantaloupes in the trash and my microwave smells like fucking melon.
Oh, just American pie.
Jesus.
And there's just holes in each of them. They look like bowling balls.
That's not a thumb hole.
Oh,
every time anyone in the family sees someone eating a melon, they just start crying.
And nobody puts cucumbers on the salad. So I have to tell this story with that being said. You know my buddy Mike, right?
Old from band-aids that I know?
No. from the taco incident, Mike. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know him. I'm not gonna say his last name. He knows who he is. So his one of his exes, he hated her family.
Hold on, real quick. So do a lot of your friends and family probably. Do you want to continue with the
yeah.
story?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, all it's right. Mike. If you know him, like, right. it's fine.
You're just not trying to publicly.
Yeah. No, no. He tells. Yeah, he okay. tells. He tells the story, so okay. it's fine. So his he hated his ex family, and they were coming over for dinner. So the night before, he fucked his girl with a cucumber. Right.
Oh, no.
So he fucking just destroyed her with a cucumber, right? Then proceeds to the next day chopping the cucumber up and putting it in the salad for the family to eat.
That's horrible.
I cannot believe you just told that story.
That's the truth, and he'll back it up too.
Oh my god.
So moral of the story, if you go over to Mike's house, don't eat the salad.
Or like, because
if there's anything phallic shaped yeah. that could be cut into a vegetable that you can eat, you got to be careful about
it. Oh my god,
that's horrible.
Yeah,
story.
So
sponsors.
Yeah. After this lovely episode.
Speaking of cucumbers and sex, Kevin Brewster with Dark Side Graphics. I want to thank you for our t-shirts. And those have been getting around. We're pretty much almost done with the deal. So I think we might have went on longer than we should have, but
it's in the upper 80s for sure. I haven't checked today, but more orders are sitting. I ran out of large, so the orders are kind of on hold. I had a backup order coming. It's supposed to be here Friday, but it didn't show up. So I think we anticipate the 6th is when those shirts should show up, and I'll get everything else mailed out. So, but thank you to those people who have been posting their pictures of the shirts.
Yes, and absolutely. Get one, do some that really cool pictures. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. So that was Kevin Brewster. Thank you to
Dark Side Graphics. You could use, if you contact him at darksidegraphics@x.com, and you want to place an order for some shirts or something like that for your company or an event you're going to have, you can use the, code SofaKing and get 10% off of those. So, also you can get 10% off of your favorite El Yucateco product at the gear store, SofaKing is wearing his work shirt. And I go there and if you're having issues finding it locally and you do have to order it, you can always go to elyucateco.com and order the sauce.
And I'll say this, if there's a Walmart, there's El Yucateco. It might not have all the flavors, but they do now, and some Walmarts have up to 4 flavors. They have green, red, black, and XXX at some stores.
So there you
Targets
go.
Do yeah. as well.
Target has it. It's pretty much, yeah, it's getting out there. So we're actually a big part of making this thing popular. So
we do our part.
We do our part.
We try.
So El Yucateco.
Keep on going. You're doing it. You're not getting tongue-tied at all.
I'm not.
You psycho? No, go for it.
Okay. I'm never not
tongue-tied.
Tongue-tied, yeah. The double negative innator from Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
he made that. Inator. Taco Nator. Go for it. Do
you not do that.
All right. You have to do the whole thing in Doofenshmirtz.
He's been a character in the show. What do we have? Dark Side Graphics. We got El Yucateco. We have Digital Creations. Thank you for our coffee mugs and mouse pads and everything else that we have with our logos on them.
Yeah, Casey Horak got a coffee mug this weekend. He posted it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Casey Horak. Makes me think of a serial killer.
There's your shout out, Casey. When Brad hears your name, he thinks of evil, horrible things.
I think of a whore rack, like just a rack of whores.
Oh,
like just in the basement. Like,
you know what?
Can we get that here?
No. You say stuff like that, makes me really nervous. But one of our biggest fans is a result of you saying you're going to cut their tits off.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, this week, Inuri Dietrich,
and fucker in the ear.
Yeah, put a giant Sofa King sticker across the back of her vehicle, nice. And is driving around Texas, I think. But yeah,
sweet.
And I was really worried when that went down. Biggest fan.
Well, and if you need stickers, speaking of stickers, you can go to printdirtcheap.com and use the code SofaKing also there and get 10% off your order. Two prints are stickers. Some of them are vinyl. Kevin cuts Dark Side Graphics, but for our circle stickers and logos that we send out with shirt orders and for free, if you hit us up on our social media, we get you some stickers. Those are printed by printdirtcheap.com. And who am I forgetting? Float, Salt 7. You can go to Salt 7, 7, the number 7, EVEN.com, and sign up for a float session, which you can do an hour, 2 hours,
No, they started doing 90 minutes.
90 minutes
as the
half.
As the default, and then you can request 2 hours.
I think Dave played a big part.
To
in
me,
that.
It's perfect because 60 minutes is too little, and 90
they might have had a lot of people requesting that.
Yeah, so they've switched it up a little bit. You could probably still talk to them into an hour if you're nervous about it. I'm sure they would accommodate you.
They'll still do two, I guess, on special requests. Yeah. Some if it fits into their special time slots that don't mess up their day. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so go there, and I mean, if you're anywhere in the vicinity, I mean, if you're a couple hours away, it's worth a drive for sure.
Absolutely. I'm probably going to do it this week, as a matter of fact.
If you're passing through.
Tell me what day you're doing it, because I've been really telling myself I need to go do it again. I haven't done it. Yeah.
And then also, I want to give a shout out to Real Escape Bakersfield. So if you're in the area, again, Fresno, LA, anywhere like that, and you like escape rooms, their stuff's pretty legit.
It is legit.
And they just gave me some tokens for free admission. They gave us a ton of tickets before. Like $1,000 worth, and they gave me another few hundred dollars worth of these tokens. They're like poker chips, and those are their admit one.
Can you very, very specifically tell people which one to go to? Because the last time we gave a shout out, like half the people went to the wrong place.
There's Bakersfield Escape Room,
right?
And it has like a very like it's red and black generic type website. And Bakersfield Escape Room is not our buddies. They only change the room once a year.
And they suck.
Yeah, and they're not all that great. Real Escape Bakersfield, their red and green logo, they're going to have three rooms now, and they change them every 4 months. So it's a constant changing rotation.
And the people at Real Escape
actually make the props.
They are prop masters by trade. Yes. So the props are fucking legit. Like it's a really immersive experience that's unique only to them. They're not buying shit. They're fabricating it, and it's awesome.
Yes.
So Real Escape is the one to go to.
Real Escape Bakersfield. Yeah. So Real Escape is the spot. We'll probably hit us up if you're local. See if we can get you some tickets to get over there and let them know you heard it on here. The Sofa King podcast. I think that's it.
Dan Camarillo.
Oh, Dan Camarillo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't go at all to this week, did you? No.
I'm busy, man. I know. I'm busy and I'm hurting.
Almost passed out. Dude. One of those days, it was 107, and I was like in the parking lot with the.
Well, I know what I'm doing next time I go. I'm taking a screwdriver and a hammer, and I'm just going to get on somebody's back, hammer the screwdriver in the head. They'll still defend a little bit.
Is that happening?
Probably work
like,
something.
Is that
in.
Towards the end of practice?
Yeah, for sure. Like when we're sweaty.
I leave in early that day. That's why I asked. I had a doctor's appointment.
Nah, I'll probably get Jimmy or somebody. So
there's your shout out, Jimmy.
Yeah. All right, is that it?
That's it.
All right, don't be retarded. Trump was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass. And even though she had a big plump lump, I threw her in and let the beat bump. Threw her in the trunk, ayy. Trump was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass. And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump. Threw her in the trunk, ayy. 2K11 riding solo, in the Benz on twins, hella low pro, slinging CDs out the trunk for Modo. My mojo said a thick bitch, so I go slow. I pull it over, trying to get up on her bumper, wanting to crunch her. So I say, baby, my new CD is a slumper. It'll make the trunk thunder, girl, your rump give me lumber. Up under the sheets, I can put you in a real deep slumber. She said, fuck, Tekkenina didn't feel her. Did everything within my power not to kill her. Disrespectful bitch, I really wish that I can grill her. Light in my head, it said, put her in the trunk, man, you can steal her. I put the hater bitch in a headlock, she flipping out. I pop the trunk, she crunk, but I ain't about to chicken out. I'm sick and tired of being nice and letting shit go by. She said, fuck that Tech 9 bullshit, so I. Trump was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass. And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump. Threw her in the trunk, ayy. Trump was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass. And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump. Threw her in the trunk, ayy. I'm bumping everything that beat like gangster shop. I bangs the rap in her ear till she gives thanks to that. Never take a prisoner where you hang your hat. I'ma roll around with her inner trunk, pumping that tech, not slump to the little bitch, faint collapse. I'ma roll to Topeka, Tekkenina, Aricha. If I gotta double back to Eureka, crispy flows through my tweeters. Bumping this ring when I roll through with Tita. Wait a minute, I think this bitch is trying to kick a hole through my speakers. Give a gun, then I open the trunk and said, get out the goddamn trunk, get on the ground, take off the goddamn belt. Put it on your ankles, I'ma tie up your wrist myself. I just wanted to track and say what the dog to do. Bitch, hell wrong with you. Hey, the hot
block. Sex was not slam dunk. Rode for hours, then I stopped right off Van Brunt. When a bitch talking crazy like a lost man's chump, she'll say,
put the bitch in the goddamn trunk.
Trump was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass. And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump.
Threw her in the trunk,
ayy. Trump was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass. And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump.
Threw her in the trunk, ayy.
Hours turned to days, days turned to weeks. Had to drill holes in the trunk so she can drink and eat. Whatever I stuffed through the holes, hot dogs and ho-hos. Kidnapped on a low-lo, spoke no more. Oh no, go slow to the po-po. I gotta ditch this bitch with the quickness. Man, I just remember this benzo was lifted from Soul Park. That's where I'm about to go dart. Let her know art for the evil bitch and the brainless witch with no heart. It got so dark.
Police are still looking for 21-year-old Crystal Nelson, who has been missing since last Sunday. Friends and family told police that they thought this was yet another one of Crystal's weekend excursions, but after all of this time, they're still worried sick.
It's been fun, mama. Fed her my catalog like Adderall. Fucked up in the trunk with rump is how I had her, y'all, in a ditch. Walked back to the trunk wicked is how I sounded. Whisper, bet that you love Tech 9 now, bitch.
Threw her in the trunk.